In the holy name of Jesus, amen. If you want a simple word to describe evil and all that we have heard in our sermon series so far, you might use the word twisted. When Hollywood wants to portray people who have been possessed by demons, they often rely on people appearing twisted, their heads or their bodies contorting in strange ways. And while real-life exorcists and missionaries will tell you that real demon possession is much more subtle and scarier, there is a kernel of truth to what Hollywood portrays. Evil is twisted, and it wants to twist you. So far, we have heard about four things that evil targets: the truth, the human body, your money, and religion. More than anything else, the devil wants to twist the truth, and that is why he attacks, often trying to use the word of God, as we saw in the temptation of Jesus. He uses the word of God, but just slightly off from what it really means, in order to convince people of a lie. Wherever you see the word of God under attack, there you see evil at work. Second, the devil targets the human body, that beautiful and complex creature that God created last as a sort of crown for his creation. Evil seeks to twist the human body by alienating men and women from their own flesh, as we saw when the devil made Adam and Eve ashamed of their own nakedness. Wherever you see the human body put towards ends for which it was not created, wherever you see men and women hating their own flesh, there you see evil at work. The devil would have you be greedy as well, because God created us for generosity, and so he works to twist us around, and therefore he works to make us love our money and not look at it as a tool to be spent and given away on others. Wherever you see folks fighting over money or worried about money or living only for money, there the devil is happy. And finally, last week, we hear how the devil can even twist us around with religion, seducing us into thinking that less Jesus is better. Here is part of what is happening whenever Christianity gets twisted and starts focusing on your works instead of Jesus' works. If a knot is a twisted rope, then evil is a twisted desire. And now this week, we come to the twistiest twist of all, that terrible desire to be in the place of God. You see it in today's gospel reading. There, James and John asked Jesus to be with him in his glory, to be up close, right up there with him at the center of glory. They're too smart to actually replace Jesus with themselves. Just as most people, if you were to ask them, would never say, "Of course, I think I'm God." But nevertheless, they look at Jesus as their stepping stone to promotion. In some gospels, we hear it's their mother who asks and makes this request, and whether it was their mother or them, the point is the same. Jesus has become for them a tool for receiving and achieving glory. They have twisted things in their hearts. So it often goes in religion. People are always wishing that God and the church would serve some project of their own choosing, and usually that project can be summarized with three words: what I want. It can happen in big ways or in small ways. It can happen in a big way when people try to co-opt the gospel into supporting some political agenda or some social justice movement for which God did not give the gospel. And it can happen in small ways, as when we're a little disappointed that our congregation or our religious life is not meeting our needs for entertainment and friendship. Whether big or small, we often want God and the church to serve our pursuit of happiness, We twist the focus from God to ourselves. It's not without reason. After all, doesn't God want you to be happy? As Psalm 1 says, happy are they whose delight is in the law of the Lord. As Jesus says, happy are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Of course God wants you to be happy. But what God knows is that you will never be happy for as long as he is simply the tool for your happiness, as long as you are simply looking at him as sort of your happiness bag from which you're trying to get things in order to achieve this pet project of your own. No matter how good that pet project may appear to be, we will not be happy. That is, you and I will never really be happy for as long as we are putting ourselves and our desires in the place of God. Just think of the word gluttony. Now, there's a good old-fashioned sin we don't always talk about. People often think of gluttony as being a matter of eating too much. But C.S. Lewis points out that even someone who insists on eating only a very little bit can also be guilty of gluttony. Because gluttony has to do with wanting. If laziness or sloth is a matter of not wanting something enough, then gluttony is a matter of wanting what we want too much. Gluttony is making ourselves like God and our desires like the law. For as long as we are gluttons for our own desires, we are all twisted up and missing the true, simple joy that God wants you. God wanted you so much that he became like you. It is for that joy that God created you. He created you for a life not in which you are trying to become like God, but in which God became like you and thus freed you from trying to be like him. To put it a little bit better, God created you for a new age, a kingdom in which God finds his home on earth so that you may take joy in the earth once more, in which God finds his home in your own flesh, so that you may take joy in your own flesh once more, and quit trying to be something that you are not. Here's what God would have for you. A life in which you must no longer think about yourself at all. A life in which you are neither selfish nor working at trying to be unselfish, because all the questions about God and yourself are settled. And all that's left for you is to love God and your neighbor as yourself. Once you see that goal of God, the point of the cross becomes clearer. By becoming a human being and going to the cross, God frees himself from all of our wants and all of our desires. Because on the cross, God becomes something that we would never desire. We think of God and we picture someone who is untouched, who is perfectly happy and clean and bright and glorious, and we want to be that. But then he does the opposite thing. Then he climbs down into our death. And everyone who wants to be like God or even wants to be God discovers that on the cross, God becomes what we are. That instead of climbing into a place of glory, he climbs into the grave. Rather than achieving his own happiness, he tastes our sorrow. Rather than ruling the world, he serves it. You might say that God becomes his own man on the cross, free of what we want him to be. And by becoming his own man on the cross, he not only frees himself to be himself, but he also frees us from trying to be like him. Now he has become like you. What more is there? All the questions about you and God are settled God has become man. God has made his home on earth in your flesh. And by raising this Jesus from the dead, he has declared that it will always be so. What more proof do you need that he is ready to give you everything else as well? What is left for you but to take pleasure in what God has done and what God wants? If he is able to take pleasure in the world despite its sin, if he can take pleasure in your neighbor despite your neighbor's sin, why not do the same? For God has made it clear on the cross and in the resurrection of his Son that he will fix things in his own beautiful way and according to his own wise time. All that's left is for us to trust it. That faith untwists our twisted desires. It turns us inside in and outside out. It chases away all the devils, and it delivers us. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.